the text about the holiday because it's in John chapter 10, verse 22 and following. And for verse 22 underneath where it says, then it came the festival of dedication. And it says, that is Hanukkah. Wrong. It is not Hanukkah. It is not Hanukkah at all. It should never be called Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah. When you say it, the person in front of you should be completely disgusted at you for saying it properly. But that's it. It's Hanukkah. It's a guttural. And that is the holiday. And it's in the Bible. And we're going to read it. And I'm really sorry about something. I was bringing in my menorah. Menorah is you light the candles, one for each night. And after the first night, you have two, and then three candles, four candles, five. Then you have eight, and then there's a stand in the middle with kind of perpetual candles it represents. And I was reminded in a telephone call to bring my menorah, and I went around looking for it, and I went everywhere, I couldn't find it, and I asked Nancy, and she said, yeah, it's right here. And I took it, and I put it down, and I put on my shoes, and I forgot it. I really feel badly about that. So, because I would have liked you to see a menorah. That's the closest thing we get to doing lights, you know, everywhere and filling up the house with lights is you have this little candelabra and you do it that way. But I'm going to talk with you about Hanukkah. I'm just curious, do any of you know anything about Hanukkah? I mean, have you any sense of the history of it or the reason for it or anything like that? So bear with me, stick with me, and you'll learn something about it, and I hope you'll appreciate it. Because, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's the and I'll mention this later, but it's the only biblical holiday of this season, obviously, in the Bible. That's it. There is no other holiday, and that surprises people all the time. So, verse 22 of chapter 10 of John's Gospel. Then came the festival of dedication, Hanukkah, at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. I guess it does sound better to say Hanukkah. That, you know, but. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're Mashiach, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Echad, it's a word that's used also in terms of the husband and wife become one, and the church and Christ are one. Those are the only three times I think it's used that way. That oneness is spoken of there in terms of Jesus and the Father being one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You know, I and the Father are one. There's the claim. There's one claim. They could have had even more clear claims if they wanted to. And they did, and then they killed him. But not except for God's sovereign determination and his sovereign decree for the sacrifice of his son for his people. Father, I just thank you and thank you for the way you gather your people from all tribes, nations, tongues, religions all over the face of the earth and from a vast array of experience and religious experience around the earth, coming to you for everlasting life. We thank you that you are faithful in keeping your word to us. so that we have that life in you, and it's a life of blessing. I pray that on this last night of Hanukkah, that our people here will appreciate that great story that is in your word and may see it as a blessing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I grew up in New York City, Christmas in our Jewish neighborhood was not the norm because it was a Jewish neighborhood, so we didn't celebrate Christmas. And it was quite mysterious. I was always perplexed by it and always was wondering what was going on. What I did see was that it seemed to celebrate the idea of getting lots of toys. And I believed at that point, when I was just a small kid, I believed that what we were doing, for some reason, was a kind of invention for all of us unfortunate Jewish kids so that we also could get some toys and not feel left out of all the fun while all the goyim, and it's funny how you could know that word even when you're about 4 or 5 years old, and not miss out what all the goyim were getting in celebrating Christmas. Goyim is just a word, you know, it's a Hebrew word. It means from goy, the nations or the Gentiles. And that's what it meant. And that's what we understood it a little more cutting edge to it, but that's what it comes from. In other words, all those who are basically, and the scriptures deal with it, who are not Jewish are the nations, the goyim, the nations. But what I didn't realize until later was that what we celebrated in our Jewish neighborhood was actually a holiday that was older than Christmas. In fact, it began in a place far from my Jewish neighborhood. I didn't realize, when I found that out, I was quite surprised. I thought we must have invented this thing. And I found that it also had happened over 2,000 years, probably closer to 2,200 years before, because I don't know if it's the exact date, but around 175 B.C. Is the beginning of Hanukkah, at a time when Syria was ruling Israel. And it was a time during which every imaginable evil was happening to the Jewish people in Israel. And it was not only a cruel tyrant who ruled over Israel, but he also enjoyed something very much, was to, in any way he could, humiliate the Jews. Now, during this time, one of these humiliated Jews, who happened to be a very righteous man by the name of Mattathias, made an observation. He observed an officer of Antiochus, the Syrian emperor, and he noticed that what he did was to offer up a pig on the very altar of God in the temple. What Mattathias did at that time was to kill this officer for what he saw as, and he was right, for his blasphemous behavior. This was blasphemy. And then called out for Jewish men to join and to fight with him against these blasphemous, idolatrous pig farmers who were crushing the Jews. Mattathias followed this with a cry at that time, "Whoever is for God, follow me." And joining him was not a tremendous band of people, but all of his own sons joined in this. There was Yonatan, Yochanan, Shimon, and the most famous of them was Judah, who became known as Maccabee, which means the hammer. So I have the sense that he was a pretty tough dude. And he was the leader, because it became under his leadership that a band of warriors precipitated a rebellion against the armies of Syria. Now, this is a small rebellious band starting this rebellion, and it became known as the Maccabean Revolt. And after 3 years of warfare, a battle occurred in the town of Emmaus, and Judah Maccabee and his warriors blocked the road there, blocked the road to Jerusalem, and in what turned out to be the final battle of that rebellion, they were victorious over the Syrian army and defeated the Syrians. Isn't it interesting we talk about the Syrians and Israel and they're fighting each other and, you know, some things never change. Some things really never change. But you see, they won this war, this rebellion. They won. And they, by all odds, if you look at it that way, they should have been destroyed. But they were not prepared to lose. They were prepared to defeat this enemy. And the thing that bothered them most was defiling the temple of God. That is what triggered this revolt. The joy that they had in their victory didn't last very long, because when they returned to Jerusalem, what they saw was that the temple had been completely desecrated by the Syrians. Desecrated in a religious way, destroyed physically, really just ruined. The Torah scrolls, which was the heart in the center of the synagogue, had been destroyed. Pagan gods were put up and filled the temple. Even in the Holy of Holies, what they did, and this is for their humiliation's sake, they did this to the temple. Pigs had been offered on the altar of sacrifice. The altar in the Holy of Holies, the place where only one person could go in once a year. You know what that was, another holiday? Remember the holiday? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they would go in, that the high priest could go in just for one day. They went in with their pigs and offered them on the altar. And that horror-filled sight triggered what was necessary, was a huge reconstruction, renovation, cleanup of the temple. And it was finished on the 25th of Kislev. Now this is really, to me anyway, it's very, very interesting. This date corresponds to the 25th of December. This is before ever giving a date for Jesus' birth. This holiday is going on for 175 years, finishing up on the 25th of Kislev. And on that day, you see, the temple was rededicated. But in their celebration for the dedication, they only had a tiny amount of oil to burn in the menorah in the holy place. And it was only enough oil to last for one day of lighting for the temple. But remarkably, what happened was that the amount of oil increased over time and burned for the full 8 days that it was necessary. And that was long enough to have a new supply of oil made according to the law. And this was viewed as a miracle by the Israelites. And since then, Israel came to see this 25th day of Kislev, or the 25th day of December, according to our calendar, as a day which brought Israel, to Israel, the great miracle of God. And this 8-day celebration in its entirety came to be known as Hanukkah, the dedication, speaking of the temple. And I just find it's very interesting that, you know, 175 years later, let's say add 30 years and more for Jesus' birth, so 175, a little over 200 years later, well, no, it's actually in maybe around 300 A.D. that dating of the birth of Christ comes out as the 25th of December, when Christmas is made a holiday in the Roman Empire. But it's not made a holiday. It's not made a holiday in the Bible. You will not read anything about Jesus' birth being a holiday, the day of it being a holy day. In other words, the only holy day in the scriptures in the New Covenant is speaking about Shabbat. So Hanukkah is the holiday of dedication. There is no other biblical holiday during this season of the year. Christmas is not a biblical holiday. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. Hanukkah, which began on December 25th, is the only biblical holiday of this time of year. It started with the dedication of a few men. See, there was a dedication at the very beginning of this, 175 BC, because they dedicated themselves to this battle and refused to see God treated with contempt and blasphemy. This was real blasphemy. It persisted with the dedication of a small militia that had God's glory at the very forefront of every thought and action of their lives. And it continued in the dedication of a temple that was cleansed and made ready again for worship. It found its fullness where? In the ministry of Yeshua, who observed the holiday. He observed this. We see that. And then shows that the reality of dedication is to be understood in the face of his life and his ministry. In John 10:22, we read that at that time, at the time that the feast of dedication was taking place in Jerusalem, Jesus was walking in Jerusalem. So at the time of Hanukkah, Jesus was there in Jerusalem. And he's about to go into the temple. He had a message for his people. It was a Hanukkah message. And it turns out, as I see this message, to be one of Jesus' most powerful sermons that we see in the Bible. Here's what takes place. Jesus is walking in the temple. And the Jews are gathered around him, and they're saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" They asked for this. They asked for it. If you're the Christ, if you're Mashiach, tell us plainly. Yeshua answers, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep, you see, listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What a message. You have to understand what it is to be a Jew listening to that message from someone that you're wondering, is he the Messiah? What is he? Then thinking, if he is the Messiah, he's going to be just like us. He's going to be just like the Jewish legalists, lawyers and scribes and Pharisees. And suddenly they realize, he's claiming to be one with God. How could that be? He's got to be blasphemy. We've got to stone him to death. Again, the Jews picked up stones. Again. See, that wasn't the first time. You go back to John chapter 8. Do you remember why they wanted to stone Jesus? In John chapter 8, verse 59. Does anyone remember what happened? What he did? Did he do anything? Did he deserve what they wanted to do? What was it about? He's talking about relationship to Abraham. Abraham's your father, and they say, he says, no. Abraham's not your father. Your father's the devil. Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced to see it in him. He was glad. And they start taking him on for claiming that, you know, making the claims about Abraham. You're a liar, basically, is what they say. How can Abraham be your father? How can you see Abraham's day? You're not even 50 years old yet. See, they look at everything in this. There's no sense of miracle. There's no sense of sovereign power of God. And so, and then he goes on. He gives that incredible statement. In response to that claim, he says, "Before Abraham was born, Echye Asher Echye, I am that which I am." They knew what he was saying then. You know what he was saying? He was saying, yes, you're going to take that right back to Exodus 3, aren't you? Because that's what God said to Moses when Moses said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" And God said, "Tell him, Echye Asher Echye, I am that which I am has sent you." And he says that. They know what it means, that he is saying, I. And the one who spoke from the burning bush are one. I am that eternal God speaking to you in the flesh. And they said, and we read that, what did they do? I think it's in verse 59 where it says, and they picked up stones to stone him. Here, on Hanukkah, on the feast of dedication to God, Jesus breaks the suspense and tells them what they long to hear. After years of looking for and waiting for the promised Mashiach, Yeshua tells them that Mashiach is here. He is the long-awaited Messiah. And the response of his people who had urged him, who wanted him to reveal the truth of his identity to them, is to turn on him and try to stone him to death when he grants them their request. That's what he does. That's all he does. He tells them what they wanted to hear. On this Hanukkah day, while we are gathered together on this last great day of the feast for this year, on that last day, Israel was gathered together on the first day of the feast in order to commemorate the rededication of their temple. But in the midst of this gathering, while their intention and concentration is focused on the temple and its dedication to God, suddenly something happens to the nation, because suddenly the living temple is in their midst in the temple and declares that salvation belongs to him and to him alone, and that their dedication is to be to him and to him alone. As Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Jesus is saying, this is on Hanukkah, that he, Yeshua, is Israel's Messianic King, the Savior, and that no Pharaoh, no Antiochus, no one can ever harm him, and that no one can ever harm even one of his people. That God's people are safe and that they are secure in him. As John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Furthermore, you know, Jesus also says that his people are dedicated to him, and that his people know his voice. His people hear his voice. His people follow him. This year, Hanukkah takes place from December 6th to December 14th. This is the last night. At the end of the day tomorrow, it's over. So tonight, you see, as the menorah is being lit in Jewish homes all around the world, and would have been lit here if I hadn't messed it up, on this last night of the feast, it's meant to be a reminder to them that the true worship of God was restored through the unyielding ferocity and dedication of Judah the Hammer and his followers who went along with him, and that such courage smashed the pagan idolatry and the darkness. Even so, for us as believers, a new dedication is taking place, for it's the dedication not of the light of the temple which lasted 8 days, but the light of the world which lasts forever. This holiday, which coincides with our celebration, or we could say the world's celebration of the birth of the Savior, does indeed come as a reminder to us. But interestingly, it reminds us, see, it's so, again, very interesting, it doesn't remind us of a baby's birth, but of the overcoming through Jesus Christ of the despair of spiritual darkness, the light in the candle, the light for 8 days, the overcoming of the despair of spiritual darkness and death and sin through Jesus, who is the final temple, the place upon which sacrifice is made complete once and for all. The message of Hanukkah is the message of the triumph of the light over the darkness. And that's the message of Christ, who is the light of the world. Jesus doesn't just light the temple. He is the temple, just as he is the light that lightens every man, leaving us all fully, totally accountable to God when we trust in him. As we come to a close of this Sabbath day, and as at the same time we come to a close of this biblical holiday of Hanukkah, I want you to see why Hanukkah is important to all of us today, not just a group of Jews in scattered places around the world, because they will not know what you're going to know by the end of tonight's time with me. You'll know more about Hanukkah even now, before we even get to the end, than they'll know, than they'll possibly ever know, because they don't know what we've been talking about. The light that breaks into the spiritual darkness and destroys the darkness, and with it, the physical reminder of such darkness, sin and death. So, this is what's important to us. The reason is simple. Before a holy God, there is a final dedication, or perhaps a final rededication to consider. It's the dedication which rests with you. For you, friends, you are a living temple. Do you understand that? It's not just Jesus. We're part of that living temple. As 1 Peter 2:5 says, and Jesus calls you to a deep and lasting dedication to him above all else. You know, the word dedication means to consecrate. And on that first Hanukkah, the temple, being cleansed, was consecrated, dedicated to God for his use and for his glory alone. What about you? As a living temple, will you commit yourself to that dedication and consecration? Will you commit yourself to be fully given over and dedicated to God? Will you commit yourself to be one who is made for the Master's use? Will you let yourself be that Hanukkah vessel? Will you let yourself burn brightly for him? When you do, and when you commit yourself and dedicate yourself to God, you're going to find that you're going to go beyond all you are and all you have, and that you, like Judah, can become a chosen vessel, that you can be a truly living stone in the living temple comprised of every believer who ever called upon the name of the Lord in truth. Friends, let us leave Hanukkah, maybe just taking a final look at that temple and at the high point of such a holy and religious day, a day when all of Israel was celebrating this dedication, but remembering at the same time that even as Jesus celebrated it, in that very moment, the final temple, the one that's made, what? Without hands. Jesus himself was giving eternal life and preparing the way of salvation for us. So hear him, friends. Hear him once again as he calls for our dedication in John 10:27-30, while he's in the temple during the Feast of Dedication. Now, interestingly, there's no message from Jesus regarding his birth, his own birth. Often said to be, as I said earlier, and I repeat it again so you get that, and it's just an interesting point. December 25th, Jesus, Yeshua, spoke in the synagogue on that 25th day of Kislev and gave this extraordinary Hanukkah message. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This again, you've heard it twice now. Maybe a third time when I read it before preaching. This is the incredible, to me it's the incredible Chanukah sermon of Yeshua HaMashiach. This dedication message speaks to us to this very day. It's not a message, you see, about a baby in a manger. It's a message about a Savior who saves his people and promises that they will never perish. And this is possible through the dedication of the greater temple, our Lord Jesus Christ. And his teaching, friends, you see, it's so pure, it's so simple. It points us to the importance of trusting in Jesus and receiving the eternal life he promised on that Chanukah night so long ago. It calls us to remember that we are living stones in a living temple. It calls us to turn to Jesus, the light of the world. It calls us to rededicate ourselves to him. Do you know what this means, friends? You know what it means? It's a call for you to hear what Jesus is saying. It's a voice out of eternity urging you to remember that he says that his voice is known by his sheep. That his sheep hear his voice. That his sheep follow his voice. You know, how would we put that same idea today? His sheep go to his word. They get his word. They live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That wasn't something new of Jesus who said that. That came from Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. This is the standard. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when you do live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, in other words, that when you know his voice, then you can dedicate, and you are dedicating your life to him. And you can know that he says on this very Chanukah night that he has the greatest gift for you. He promises. This is his Chanukah gift. See if there's any Christmas gift out there that matches this one. He promises you that you can live and never perish, because he who is one with the Father will keep you in his hand, and he can accomplish this because he is God himself who is with you, and he will bless you with life and a call to deep and abiding dedication and consecration in him and to him and for him. And that, friends, you see, that is why Chanukah is important for all of us today. Happy Chanukah, my friends. Happy Chanukah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a day that from 2,200 years ago, we see a world being prepared for the light of the world when some miracle candles light up in the temple and point to the one who is the light of the world and will break the darkness that holds all people without Christ bound in sin and under the judgment of God. We thank you for breaking that through his precious being broken for us, that our Savior took wrath upon his being made in the fashion of a man. He became sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Thank you for this gift. Thank you. And thank you for making us his gift. I think we got the better of the deal. But he seems to be happy with the way it worked out, because we were all he wanted as his gift. Thank you for his love. In Jesus' name, amen.